Work. From Sullivan Renaissance, a community beautification initiative of the Geary Foundation, dedicated to empowering volunteers to build beautiful, active communities in Sullivan County for over 20 years. SullivanRenaissance.org.
Good evening and welcome to the Local Edition, local news and information that's keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. Maybe you've heard of St. Baldrick's Foundation. It's a donor-powered charity, supports research to find cures for childhood cancers. And there was a fundraiser, a St. Baldrick's event that happened in Eldred just over this past weekend. We'll find out how it went. We'll be speaking to the owner of Corner Piazza Pizza live in the second half of the program. But first, it's Monday, and every Monday on the Local Edition, we check with the Sullivan County government. And today, we have James Arnott, superintendent for the Sullivan County International Airport. The airport was created in the 60s during the waning years of the county's resort era. Now, the county has plans to expand it as the Catskills region is once again bustling. James Arnott was attending an aviation conference in Schenectady when he spoke to Radio Catskills Patricio Rabayo. And the conversation begins with the vision for Sullivan County Airport's next chapter.
Our airport, the runway is 6,300 feet long. It's slightly more than a mile, but it is a gateway to thousands of miles of destination. In our early days, local history, canals, railroads, and highways were the conduit to our county's goods and services. This is a mission that can't be achieved alone. It requires commitment and cooperation from the county government, its departments, and personnel, and we have a number of new exciting projects to talk about.
Great. And what are those projects? Because I read some reports in the River Reporter and the Democrat, but we'd love to hear from you exactly what it's in store for the Sullivan County International Airport.
Okay, well, obviously, the Hatzola contract was just passed by the county legislature, and that's going to bring up to seven aircraft at a 22,000 square foot hangar building and at 24-hour operations for air medical services to the county. And that's going to be pretty important. They do all kinds. I think they do about 300 missions a year, which is a lot. That's just one project. We have a couple of projects that I have a certain amount of non-disclosure on, but I can kind of talk around them. There's a great section of the airport on the western side that I'm sorry, the eastern side that hasn't been considered developable within our airport master plan. We have a gentleman who is very interested in developing, and he has some new technology and some ideas. And if he's successful, part of his project is that he's going to bring municipal water and municipal sewerage into the airport on his expense as part of his development. That's rather incredible. And that will definitely open up about six or seven more corporate hangar opportunities of about 22,000 square feet apiece, and we have a number of negotiations going on with Part 135 operator, and that's going to be quite exciting as well.
I know you said you can't talk much about the project, but is that the Canadian developer that I have heard about coming to the airport?
That is. And he's in Montreal, I can tell you that much. But he has interest in Sullivan County here.
Now, you mentioned before, like, the air traffic has grown in the area. Sullivan County Airport seems like it's been busy. What is the cause of this air traffic? Is it because of the casino and all the new growth that's happening with the water park? Is it a mixture of people, more people just moving up here to this part of New York State?
It's a little bit of that and more. It's the impact of the auto club. It's the impact of the water park. It's the impact of the casino. And it is also a reflection of people moving into Sullivan County and taking homes in Chapin State and other places. So we have another project. We're looking to do a $5 million plus upgrade to the terminal building. And that will be, we're actually in a competitive situation with a grant from the state of New York for that. And that will help improve passenger services, and that will encourage more contract flight, charter activity.
That sounds like great news. I always hear like the chatter out in public that, you know, some wish that the airport could handle commercial flights and have flights available to Florida or to other parts of the country. That would be such a great convenience instead of traveling out to the city for a flight. Is that in the future for the airport?
Well, it's something that can be discussed. Here's part of the problem. Most airlines, when they make a deal with an airport to establish different flights, they want to be guaranteed 70% full capacity of passengers. And that's difficult for the county to be able to offer financial assistance to that level. Now, there is some opportunity around that, and we may be talking in the future to some interesting people who might not have that requirement.
Right, right. And I can see, you know, like I said, it would be a great convenience for a lot of people who basically travel to back and forth from Florida during the summer and winter months. I see you were quoted in a Democrat article, I believe it was, that the revenues were up. And, it's, you know, especially during this time, during this pandemic and everything, the revenues have been up. Can you expand on that and tell us why it has been up?
Sure, I can. First of all, the national trends, if you Google or check it, you can see that private aviation and business aviation is up 70% nationwide. Part of it is that if you notice in the news, some of the regular carriers are canceling flights and having all kinds of difficulties meeting schedules. So more businesses are prone to charter their own aircraft for their business meetings, or a lot of businesses have their own airplane and operate an aviation department. In fact, that's one of the things that we're trying to attract to Sullivan. These kinds of corporate aviation departments normally have in the past used Teterboro, Morristown, Westchester, but all those airports are filled up for that purpose. And if you're an executive in Manhattan, and you got to get on a helicopter and fly to your corporate jet, you don't care if it's in Teterboro, Westchester, or Sullivan County. So, and we can offer some tremendous advantages to those corporate aviation departments, and that's what we're concentrating on right now for the next couple of years. But beyond that, there are some plans to discuss with one of these ultra-low cost carriers, in particular like Breeze Airlines, if we can get their attention. They're offering $60 flight segments to the greater part of the Northeast between Florida and Boston and New York and whatnot. That would be something really nice to be able to get a hold of.
I remember hearing back in the past, I think it was a discussion with the college, I believe, or maybe not, maybe I heard it wrong, but there was a discussion about a company coming into the airport that was doing drones or some kind of drone flying or drone training at the airport. Is that project still going on?
Well, no. They wanted to do a manufacturing of drones in the area. However, another part of the state has really targeted, and they've got a FAA defined area for drone production and drone testing. But so that may be coming to all of us, but not at this time. I think one of the things I should tell you and your listeners is that over the last 5 years, we've completely redone the airport from the aviation sense. We've got new electrical lights that are LED instead of the traditional ones that are a lot more efficient to run and a lot brighter. We've redone the runway, and It was supposed to be closed for 58 days last year, but we did it at night and we finished in less time and under budget. And then this year we redid the taxiway. That was $2.2 million, and our local share was nothing for that. Which is,
yeah, upgrades like that are much needed in these times. And like I said, using LED lights and green infrastructure like that is very cost effective.
Yeah, and the airport hadn't been upgraded in terms of the runway, taxiway, lights, and signs. And in essence, we've got a brand new airport. If we get a brand new terminal to go with that, and we get a few more visits, and it's going to be really, really, really comfortable. Now, we do have an advantage. We started selling fuel instead of letting somebody else sell it at the airport. And we're able to move the ball on having the revenue catch up with the operating expenses. When I first got in there, we've been running only about 16% revenue. It looks like through this year, we're going to get it up to like 60% or better.
Wow, that's pretty good. Now, you say selling the jet fuel. So are you selling jet fuel to the customers, I guess, who are flying out their airplanes or helicopters from the airport?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are, in fact, although we are friendly and we allow general aviation to be the airplanes, the Pipers and the Cessnas and whatnot, they burn gasoline, aviation gasoline. And it's only about 10% of the total fuel sales. We're selling a tremendous number of jet fuel gallons.
That's a pretty high margin to have compared to last time, especially during this time. Like I said, during this pandemic, during this time that of uncertainty, to have that much of an increase is pretty good. And I can see why. You have all these new projects coming up in the background already, you know, and with all this room at the airport. You have room to expand. So,
well, we've got 600 acres, which is
plenty of room.
Plenty of room, and we have a legislature that is oriented now towards taking advantage of the resources that the airport provides. Now, I'm up at this state air conference, and one of the things that's going to come out tomorrow, supposedly, is the 10-year study by the DOT for the economic impact for airports around the regions. And the last time it was done was 2010. And you might be surprised to know that even back in 2010, before the casino, before the water park, before the water club, our impact at Sullivan County economically was greater than the airport impact for Orange County.
Mm. Wow. And that is surprising, especially because Orange County is being such a bigger, you know, county than us.
Well, yeah, the economic impact of that airport was 10 years ago was around $6 million for the region. Ours was around 26 million.
And that's great. Anything else that we have not touched on that you want our listeners to know about?
Well, I would just like to leave you with the thought that everything's looking up at the airport.
For Radio Catskill, I'm Patricio Robayo.
And this is a local edition right here on Radio Catskill. Thank you to Patricio for that interview. Remember, every Monday on the local edition, we check in with Sullivan County government and its affiliates to find out what's going on. And tonight, we were learning about the Sullivan County Airport. If you missed any of this episode of the local edition, if you missed that interview, or any of our episodes, remember, we can be found at wjffradio.org in the archives. You can also sign up to the local edition podcast to make sure you never miss an edition. We've got our next live guest ready to go coming up in just one moment after this break here on the local edition.
The Radio Catskill Community Awards, September 30th, honoring our healthcare heroes for making a difference, for putting the well-being of others above all else, for staying strong in these unprecedented times, including Sullivan 180. Join us at Calicoon Hills, September 30th. Ticket information at wjffradio.org. The Radio Catskill Community Awards, honoring our healthcare heroes, September 30th.
And, you know, I've heard a lot over the last year, people, you know, saying how great it is what Radio Catskill has done to keep the community connected. I've heard people thanking me for what I've done, and the people that that I need to thank are those folks that we are honoring at that awards, especially the awards focusing on folks from, you know, the healthcare industry and also from public health and other nonprofits and just neighbors doing good work to keep their fellow neighbors healthy. So I do invite you to join with me and everybody here at Radio Catskill as we honor them. All the info is up at WJFFradio.org. And right now, it's time to get to our next interview. You've heard about St. Baldrick's, right? St. Baldrick's Foundation. It's a volunteer and donor-powered charity. And they're committed to supporting research to find cures for childhood cancers. And this past weekend, the owner of Corner Piazza in Eldred, Lou Monteleone, he held a St. Baldrick's event. He's been doing it for several years now, and he's on the phone with us live to tell us how it went and also why he did it. Lou, how are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, and thank you for taking the time. It sounds like you're in a kind of place where this is dinner time for you. This might be a busy time of day. So
it is busy, but I think my customers will understand.
Okay, all right. You tell them.
So, we held a St. Baldrick's event here over the weekend. I got involved with them about 15 years ago through a friend that I knew that mentioned. I never heard of them before. And then when I heard that they were based on people going bald, shaving their heads to raise money for childhood cancer, I was really intrigued that people would go so far as to do that and inquired about it and so on. And as you know, they shave their heads to show solidarity towards all children that are battling cancer, that lose their hair during treatment. So I was absolutely amazed at how many people go bald for this cause and raise tremendous amounts of money. So as far as St. Baldrick's go, they're the largest private funder of childhood cancer research grants. They funded over $300 million so far worldwide. They'll send grants out to St. Jude's and other hospitals across the world and so on to continue till we find a cure for this horrible disease. As we know, too, that every 2 minutes a child is diagnosed with cancer. In the U.S., 1 in 5 will not survive. So the 5-year survival rate has risen from about 79% to almost 85% in the last few years. But there's still a lot more to be done. So we gathered here in Eldred, which is a very small town, and shaved some heads over the weekend. We also did the Line of Hope, which I created as part of the St. Baldrick's program, Do What You Want type of deal, for people that aren't comfortable shaving their heads but still want to participate. What I came up with 10 years ago was to stand people in line along the road, holding names of loved ones or words of encouragement like courage and strength and so on. And they'll stand there and we'll play music that fills the whole town for about 10, 12 minutes, and they'll stand there honoring these children as people go by. It's a great way to raise awareness and also funds. They usually donate a few bucks to stand in line and do this. So we've been doing that for about 10 years now out of the 15, and the last 6 or so, I decided to, through the power of social media, to extend it across the country. So we got other states involved that may not have 100 people or 50 people, may just be 6 or 10 people in their backyard or in their town park or whatever. And what they do is they'll stand there with us in their state and hold names of loved ones and so on, take a picture, send it to us, and then at the end of the month, I usually come up with a video showing everybody across the country that participated with us. So
there's a lot more that you're doing for this than I thought. I already thought you were doing enough just to hosting a venue for this, but you're really going all in here.
Yeah, I'm just a small business guy here. It's very difficult to get the word out to people besides social media as far as ads go and stuff like that, especially across the country to get people involved. But I saw it was such a powerful 10 or 12 minutes where these people stand outside. And then the songs are pretty, heart-tugging too as well. And they all reflect on what these children go through and the lives that they're not able to have because they spend their whole time in the hospital. So it really brings to home because you really don't, you don't know until you get that horrible call that your child is, you know, has cancer, and then your life is just turned upside down, and your friends' lives and anybody that you associate with daily. So this is just a reminder of what these children go through and the road that they have, and seeing them, you know, on a country road on a Sunday afternoon in September. It's always the same weekend, right after Labor Day. It really was so powerful. I said, you know what, if there's a way I can get the whole country involved, that would really be great. If we could just unite as one, there's so much division in this country, you know, as we speak, that this would be a nice way to get people to come together for a great cause. And total strangers, you know, I just go on Facebook or Twitter and just type in cancer families or somebody that might be interested in honoring their child, or they know a friend or someone they might honor. And these people trusted me from, you know, thousands of miles away, and gave it a go and signed up with their state name and their Line of Hope tag, and they also raised money accordingly and stand in their backyard, or sometimes it's just two or three people with their dog and, you know, a word or a name, and it's really something to see when you watch the video how people can latch on to something so important.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm wondering, is there somebody in your life that went through this that also spurred you on to do something, whether it was a young person in your own family or just your proximity to another family had a young person had to face childhood cancer?
It was when I first started it, the way I got started was just in a let's put it this way, a public service announcement for this St. Paul's, which was, I had no idea what they were about. And then when I heard about it, I was just so, you know, torn by it. And then just to follow up, about 5 years after that, my wife was diagnosed with colon cancer, which she made a full recovery on. And she wound up shaving her head even before she was diagnosed with cancer, and raised about $4,000 or so.
Wow.
So things work. It was right after, 2 months after we got married and so on. And it was just like I said, it's very difficult to understand unless you're put in that spot. And a lot of people right now, I found over the years, it's a lot easier to get $10, $20 from people than it is to get 10 or 20 minutes of their time. Time is very valuable to a lot of people. There's a lot of things going on and so on. But once you get that news, which could happen at any second, I don't wish it on anybody. I'm not, you know, saying that, but it does sooner or later happen. It changes everything, which is why we have to keep this fight going.
Yeah. I've only got you say, like, time is important to folks. I've only got a few more questions for you.
Okay.
The first two are, how in your corner of the world, how did this event go? How many people got their heads shaved, and how much did you raise, if you know?
We usually average about 20 people shaving. This year with COVID, it was really difficult to – what's still going on, especially the second or third time around now, to get people to come out. We had a couple people do it remotely, but we wound up between the head shavings and the Line of Hope and stuff raising a little over $10,000.
Oh, that's great.
So and up to this date, all the years since we created it, we're at about 185,000, I think, we're up to now. So
Wow. For
a little town, you know, it's pretty big.
I just rang our fundraising bell for you, even though that's not our fundraiser, because that's just tremendous. That's a tremendous showing. So
thank you so much.
And is there anything else that you want folks to know about it? Even though this event is done, how else might they find some more information about it, or when will you be doing this again?
Well, I do it every year in September this weekend. But they can still, if they want to participate in the Line of Hope part, even though it's not exactly the same day as, you know, it was yesterday. But if they would still like to get involved, they can still do so. I don't get that video done till about, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now. So if they have someone that they want to honor in their state, they can do so, and just send me a picture. I can send you, give you the email address if you like.
Line of Hope@
hvc.rr.com. They can email me with questions or just send me a photo with their state, and I'll make sure to squeeze it in and get you represented.
Yeah, give that email one more time, Lou.
lineofhope@hvc.rr.com.
Lou, the last question for you, and again, don't want to put you on the spot, but
okay.
you got to tell me, did you get your head shaved?
I sure did. I do every year. 15 years now. Not that there's much now left to grow, to go, but But I've been doing it since the beginning. St. Paul's Lutheran has different tiers for people that volunteer for X amount of service, and we're at the 15-year mark here as the crusader for the bald, and you start off at the Knights of the Bald Table and so on. So it's a great organization. A majority of the funds go towards this research, which is what turned me on. It's not spent on a lot of other nonsense. So yeah. It's been great.
And it sounds like it's a way to actually have fun while doing something really important and
absolutely
showing that solidarity with the kids who end up losing their hair, too.
Absolutely. And when people shave their head, I start off by shaving half of it until they come up with $50. That's how I leave it. So we don't save the rest of it until we raise another 50.
Well, you got them. You got them at that point.
That's right, exactly.
Lou Monteleone, owner of Corner Piazza in Eldred, where he is right now working and very busy. Lou, I want to thank you for what you've done for the community, and I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Hey, you're welcome. Thank you so much, and let's just continue to fight. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Once again, that was Lou Monteleone, owner of the Corner Piazza in Eldred. They had a big St. Baldrick's Foundation fundraiser there this past weekend. You're listening to the Local Edition. Okay, and that's going to do it for the Local Edition tonight. Local news and information that keeps you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. We are public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. It's Radio Catskill. Again, if you missed this episode, any of this episode, any of our episodes, never miss another edition of the Local Edition again. Find us wherever you get podcasts. Sign up for the podcast. That way you'll always get the Local Edition. Look for us, Local Edition from Radio Catskill, wherever you get podcasts.
How important are these spaces for wildlife, for ourselves?
What are we looking at now in the political climate? Are you able to share with us your experience with the vaccination itself? What kinds of lettuce do you grow?
Asking the questions that need to be asked, having the conversations that need to be heard. Sabrina Artell's Trailer Talk, Wednesday night at 7.
That you have a couple of pigs that live in your house.
There's three right now. There's Wilbur, Joaquin, and Princess.
WJFF Jeffersonville, Radio Catskill.
On air at 90.5 FM.
WJFFradio.org.
Listen to us on your smartphone. Download the WJFF app.
Listen to us on your smart speaker.
Like us on Facebook.
And follow us on Instagram.
Radio Catskill, keeping you connected.
I'm Scott Simon. If you've raised children, you know the best way to address fear is with truthful information, calmly and comfortingly delivered. That's what NPR News always tries to do in times of crisis, too. That old car in your driveway can actually help us. By donating it to this station, you'll turn your car into more solid information brought to you by voices you trust. Here's how.
Donate at WJFFradio.org.
This is WJFF Jeffersonville, public radio for the Catskills, Northeast Pennsylvania Radio Catskill. And a few showers are possibly on the early end tonight. Scattered thunderstorms may arrive overnight, and some of them may be severe. It's about a half and half chance of rain tonight. Overnight low down to 58. Very cloudy tomorrow. Stray shower thunderstorm is possible. Slight chance of some rain tomorrow with a high of 79, and the likelihood of scattered thunderstorms returns tomorrow night with an overnight low of 64. Stay tuned. We've got our full lineup of Monday night political news talk programming starting with La Volse in Breve coming up.
Skill comes from Sun River Health, providing accessible health care at over 40 community locations across the Hudson Valley, New York City, and Long Island. The care you need, the respect you deserve. Sunriver.org.
The Radio Catskill Community Awards, honoring our healthcare heroes for making a difference, for putting the well-being of others above all else, for staying strong in these unprecedented times, including Julie Pizzal.